This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Hope you had a better Labor Day weekend than those in the Bahamas had, as Hurricane Dorian kind of hanging out there for much of the weekend. And it looks obviously bad, although they're saying now it may just head straight up the coast instead of actually going over land in South Florida. And they're expecting that today. But the thing, going about 1 mile an hour, Hurricane Dorian's kind of like that relative or that friend that we all have that you invite them over to your house and it just never leaves. Just get out. Just move. But our thoughts are with all the people that are in the way of that. Have you seen that from space? Have you seen the images, the pictures?
Well, I can't.
It's horrifying.
I have, but I'm such the skeptic anymore. When it comes to visual things and social media, I can't tell what is real and what has been doctored via Photoshop or what have you.
Usually, if you see it on a news website, whether it's FoxNews.com or CNN.com or one of our local news stations, it looks incredible from space, from the sky. It's all you see is white, and then the eye, the hole right in the middle of it. But it's just hanging out. And I noticed that over the Labor Day weekend, some of my Facebook friends who live in the New Orleans area, who like to watch the news, they were complaining. Come on, news. There's other news going on than this Hurricane Dorian. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute here. You know, you live in the New Orleans area, and we're lucky this one's not hitting us. But if this one was heading our way, you wouldn't be saying that. You wouldn't be saying, come on. There's other news going on. All you would care about is the hurricane heading your way. And I just found it, I found it a little bit unique how some of my Facebook friends who live around here were complaining that the news channels were talking too much about Hurricane Dorian. Hell, what it did to the Bahamas. By the way, have you ever been to the Bahamas? It's beautiful.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, the Bahamas, they're not that warm. If you go to the Bahamas and it's like late summer, even early summer, or not summer at all, you have to bring long sleeves because.
Well, I don't mind that.
No, that's one thing. Some people might be a little bit confused. You hear Bahamas, you're thinking heat, you're thinking sweat. Oh no! And they're saying now that the government in the Bahamas were telling people make sure you have hammers with you, so you can get out of your house after the hurricane comes and goes. Some of the construction in the Bahamas isn't as sturdy as other places we might know. But Hurricane Dorian has been downgraded to a Category 3, but we know here in New Orleans that doesn't really matter if they downgrade it from a 5 to a 4 or a 4 to a 3. A 3 can do just as much damage. So anyways, this thing's going to be going on for a while. And it's so slow. Some of the things that you were alluding to, what you can't believe.
How slow is it?
Well, no, but some of the things that you were alluding to, what you can't believe when you see them on the internet, there was one cone of uncertainty. It said it was going to hit Jacksonville by Thanksgiving, and it said it was going to hit Georgia by Christmas. That's how slow this thing was going, but it's not quite going that slow, but
speaking of uncertainty, we have a particular man in Florida with his idea.
They keep saying, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it said this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and say, well, it's now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather, oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way.
Wasn't that the partner in your partner in the barbecue joint in Miami?
Well, he is a Florida man. That quote comes from a Florida man.
We just drop ice in there. That makes perfect sense. Cool. What? Huh?
And there were some people saying our government wanted to like try to shoot down the hurricane if they could. We have great equipment, military equipment that we could. Yeah. Well, it's Mother Nature. It's what it is. And this weekend here in the city of New Orleans, since it was Labor Day weekend, it was the annual Essence Fest, and
it was the annual.
Decadence Fest.
Decadence Fest.
What did I say?
Essence.
That's 4th of July. Decadence Fest. The big gay party. It's the largest group, evidently, from what I understand, of homosexuals to be in one place for one party, for one festival in the entire South, from what I understand. And and we had a few extra people here this year for Southern Decadence, the Decadence Fest, because of Hurricane Dorian. I guess some people... Well, I guess the Decadence, they opened their arms and opened, and they said, come on, come on! You can hang out here with us in New Orleans for this festival if you're riding out Hurricane Dorian. And, you know, the good thing about Southern Decadence is, again, much like anything else that happens in the month of July or August or the beginning of September here, it brings business to the city at a time when New Orleans desperately needs that business, because obviously June, July, August, September, they're the slowest months here for business, making money here in the city of New Orleans, because it's so ungodly hot around here. So anytime something comes to the city to that brings a lot of people, they spend money, and people always seem to have a good time at the Southern Decadence. I see some pictures from the parades. The only thing I would have to say is just with some of the parades and some of the parade marchers, could you put on a few more articles of clothing? I mean, that's the only thing. See, all the other parades we have here in New Orleans, usually most people are, they're covered up fairly well, but the Southern Decadence, there is more skin shown at those parades than any other parade that we have, Mardi Gras, anything else here in this city. And Hollywood actor Jeff Goldblum, who happened to be in town, he was filming something else. He just decided to lead one of the parades, and he wore a funky outfit. And so that's that. Here we are again, and football season has started. Again, our thoughts are with everyone who is in the way of Hurricane Dorian. And just look up to the skies and be thankful it's not us. Coming up on the show, there is a Catholic school in Tennessee, and they just banished a popular series of books. And you're not going to believe why. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Because of Hurricane Dorian, the Attorney General in Florida, that office, has received hundreds of complaints about price gouging. And that was just at Starbucks. Hopefully the store owners there, they've been clear. There are parts of Florida they haven't had water in stores in 3 or 4 days, and the storm hasn't even hit there yet. Crazy what hurricanes do for capitalism. It's something else. Coming up next on the show, you're not going to believe the books that were just banned from a school in Tennessee. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. I told you I'm not a big Twitter person. I keep an eye on it, and I'm just fascinated by O.J. Simpson on Twitter. He tweets regularly, and he's really into fantasy football. And his latest tweet, he told people, don't devalue your running backs on your fantasy football team. Don't devalue human life. Yeah, but yeah, he thinks in his mind that people are going to him on Twitter to find out who they should pick for their fantasy football teams, and
it's kind of late at this point.
Things like that. Yeah. Well, I guess there's a few more fantasy football drafts before Thursday night. We're 48 hours away from the NFL season opening up. So excited! And don't forget, this weekend is going to be the biggest pep rally for the black and gold. It's this Saturday and Sunday at LaSalle Park. It's going to be the Who Dat Rally and Musical Festival. This is going to be a great time. All kinds of bands playing, including Big Sam's Funky Nation, the Top Cats, the Producers, Supercharger, lots more. Again, it's this Saturday and Sunday, LaSalle Park in Metairie. I'm going to dress like a blind ref, and I guess we want you to dress like a blind referee as well. And if you do, you have a chance to win prizes. And if that's going to be a fun gigs this weekend. And for all of the details, go to our website, bayou957.com, and it'll tell you everything that's going on there. And then Monday night, the Saints open up the season at home. And it's the first of two Monday night football games. They do this every year, the first weekend of the NFL season. They have two Monday night football games instead of one. And the Saints play in the first game. From what I understand, a lot of fans are dressing as referees and blind referees. Would that be something if the majority of the people who are going to the Saints game for the nationally televised audience to see would be dressed as referees? That would be something that has never happened. Look, we've seen blackouts where everybody dresses in black and at some games. We've seen whiteouts where everybody dresses in white and different colors. It depends on what game you're going to. And that's always pretty cool. We see that in a bunch of different sports. But never, ever have we seen, 70,000, 75,000 people dressed as referees with dark sunglasses on. I wonder how many people are going to dress that way when they go to the Saints Monday night game, all to let the world know, hey, we haven't forgotten that we got the screws last year when it came to the NFC Championship game and that blown non-pass interference call that should have that sent the wrong team to the Super Bowl.
Well, I didn't read the entire article, but I just saw the headline, the slug, the gist of it. Somebody wants to see the Saints and the Chiefs in the Fairness Bowl.
Oh, because they got the screws, too. It'll be a good game this year, too, the Chiefs. The Chiefs look really good. And of course, the Saints did, yeah, something. So excited for football. All right. There's a Catholic school in Tennessee that is making not just national headlines here in America, international headlines. Headlines all over the world because the school just banished the Harry Potter novels from its library shelves. They said, we've got to get rid of these awful Harry Potter novels because they're not good for our kids, the kids that go to the school. Now, I've never been a fan of book burning or getting rid of books or editing books. We're seeing that a lot now here. But this is ridiculous. St. Edward Catholic School in Nashville, Tennessee. The Reverend Dan Rehill said, we cannot have the Harry Potter novels on the library shelves of our school here. The pastor took exception to their portrayal of magic. warning that magic spells and curses that author J.K. Rowling describes are real, and they risk conjuring evil spirits when they are read. Man, you talk about a reverend that's not really mentally with it. Can you imagine that? And he said he did this because he declared he had consulted with exorcists in the United States.
I knew that's where this was going. The Catholic Church holds on to a lot of things, and the quite rare but possible occurrence of demon possession, they hold on to that like sweet death.
How many people do we still have in this country that give exorcists? Is that a booming business?
You're missing the point. It's not a booming business. It is. It's there in case it's needed. It's like the old saying goes, I'd rather not need an exorcism than, how does it go? I'd rather have an exorcist standing by and not need it than need it and not have one.
It's kind of like having cold medicine in the cabinet. You'd rather have it there and not have to use it than not have it there, and then when you have a cold, you don't have it.
I treat parsley that way, dried parsley.
Again, this is St. Edward Catholic School in Nashville, Tennessee.
I just flummoxed that there's a Catholic church in Nashville, Tennessee. I thought they were all Baptist.
They've gotten rid of the Harry Potter novels from their library shelves because the Reverend Dan Rehill there he consulted with exorcists. Not only exorcists here in the United States, but he consulted with them over at the Vatican as well.
That's where the really good ones are.
Before he decided to outlaw the 7-volume tale of the boy wizard's career at Hogwarts and his battle against Lord Voldemort and the forces of darkness.
Can you help an old altar boy, Father?
I do think of the movie when I read the story and I hear the song.
Which movie? The Exorcist or Harry Potter?
Well, both, actually.
Yes.
Demi, please, why you do this to me?
Here's what the Reverend Dan Rehill has to say. Quote, "These books present magic as both good and evil, which is not true. But in fact, a clever deception. The curses and spells used in the books are actual curses and spells, which when read by a human being risk conjuring evil spirits into the presence of the person reading the text." That's what the Reverend Dan Rehill wrote.
See, I support that because if something has happened before...
Excuse me.
If something has happened before... It's bloody likely to happen again. If it's happened before, let me say that again. If it's happened before, it's likely to happen again. So they're going on case law.
This is
like
crazy.
Like an attorney. If demon possession or just summoning of demons has happened by saying a certain phrase or whatever it is, then it could happen again. So you need to be careful and not say that phrase.
Look, I'm Catholic, you're Catholic, right. and I know a lot of people who listen to the show are Catholic. I don't know how you could look at the story and not scratch your head and think that the Reverend Dan Rehill is kind of out of his spirit.
Well, no, he's following the ancient I don't know if you'd call that tradition. But it's very real within the everything else that's kept hidden by the Catholic Church. It's in there.
Does he think Harry Potter is a true story, a real story, or this was made up by a woman?
I'm sure he is not saying that it's like a true story and acknowledges that it's fiction. But fiction can have real elements, and if he believes that the conjuring could occur by reimagining or retelling this work of fiction, then it's a no-no. It's got to go.
How would you feel if you had a kid, a child, in this Catholic school, and all of a sudden this is what the school is doing? You realize what J.K. Rowling wrote, started writing the Harry Potter novels? She was a single mother that didn't basically know where her next meal was coming from. And now she has more money than most people, and it's a wild story, but it's not true, Reverend. It's a book. It's made up.
Well, but again, an element within that work of fiction is what they're focusing on, not just Harry Potter as a character, or not taking the entire 7 volumes or whatever it is in total. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. See what I did there?
Mm. You know, I've been doing radio most of my adult life, and I always thought that I've pretty much seen it all. And then you see a story like this. Really? There's a Catholic school that's pulling the Harry Potter books from the library shelves because they contain real curses and spells, according to this one reverend who's in charge over there. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Are you a fan, or were you a fan of Friday Night Lights? It started as a book. The book was great. And then it was a big screen movie starring Billy Bob Thornton as the coach. And the big screen movie was great. And then a few more years went by, and then it became a television show on NBC. And the television show was great. Critically acclaimed. And Friday Night Lights was all about high school football at this one particular high school in Western Texas, in West Texas. Perryman High School in Odessa, Texas. And I loved it. And it's strange when you have something that has hit all of those platforms and even changed a little bit. And all of it was really, really good. It was well written. The movie was well done. The television show was extremely well done. It was fantastic. The reason I brought up Friday Night Lights is because the latest mass shooting we had a few days ago, that's where it happened. It happened in Odessa, Texas, and it happened in West Texas. And if you saw that story, some nut in his 30s just got fired from his job and then went crazy. He had a gun on him, and he got pulled over for a routine traffic stop. When he blew away one of the cops, and then he just took off and he started shooting out of his window, just shooting everywhere. And then he hijacked and carjacked a United States Post Office truck and killed the woman driving that truck and just started shooting people. I mean, the guy was completely out of his mind. But they said people from the high schools out there, Permian High School, and Odessa High School in that town, rivals who used to fight each other with fists when they weren't playing football, that shooting brought all of those kids and all of those people together, and not just in that particular town, Odessa, but then the next town, Midland, and it brought people together that they would just fight over pretty much one thing over the last, I don't know how many years in recent history, but they would only fight over high school football, and the latest crazy shooter incident brought these people together. And I saw some news clips of it, and a bunch of the high school kids had their arms around each other and holding hands. It was sad to see that take something like that to bring people together. Coming up next, we look at today in history. Why Today Doesn't Suck is what we call the segment. Stick around here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history, and we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Welcome back, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
You had a little extra time off. You were off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week.
Had an extra long Labor Day weekend.
Yes. There was one, didn't get any complaints about me hosting the show. One person did say, hey, Brewster, whatever happened to John D? And I literally had no answer. I don't know who John D is. John D Rockefeller? I believe he's dead.
Hmm.
Are you John D?
Hey.
You can be John D.
That's fine. Okay. I'll take it.
All right.
September 3rd. It was today in 1999.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The largest music bootleg bust in United States history was made today in 1999. It was estimated that this one operation alone was responsible for $100 million in lost revenues. Recording equipment valued at $250,000 was confiscated. As well as, a million CDs, over a million cassettes, 3 million blank CDs. It was just huge. This is right when
was just in my basement.
And this is when the feds started looking into people ripping music off of the internet for free.
It sounds like the era of Napster and LimeWire and various peer-to-peer. Music sharing, bulletin boards, all that stuff. So I've heard.
And also today, September 3rd, same day, same year, 1999.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Virgin Megastore website gets more than it bargained for over the Labor Day weekend when a half-price sale forces the site to temporarily shut down. Because I guess when people weren't stealing the music, they went crazy on the Virgin Megastore website,
right?
And ended up it was clogged by customers in record-breaking numbers trying to get the ones that wanted to actually pay for music trying to do that.
Did you know that we actually had a Virgin Megastore here? And I know that because I actually worked there part time for the longest month of my life, I think it was. A couple of three months, maybe. It was over on Decatur, I think, where the CVS is, the three-story CVS drugstore, I believe. Because it was Virgin Megastore and then right down the block, Tower. And, of course, those entities are lost to antiquity. But my time at Virgin Megastore, you would not believe, just to go, like, take a smoke break. You had to be basically patted down, wanded, the whole thing, so that you weren't walking out with music. I'm serious. It was retail, I discovered, is not for me.
So people actually stole music before the internet, too?
Yes.
Wow. And if you're listening right now, when was the last time you purchased music?
We'll give you a minute to think about it. It was on this date, September 3rd, also in 1999.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Lots of things happened that date this year, or vice versa. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx arrested after a concert in Raleigh, North Carolina, on charges of inciting a riot in October of 1997. He also faced charges of assault and disorderly conduct. Now, boys, it was on this date, September 3rd, 2002.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Stones, the Rolling Stones, blame it all on the Rolling Stones. They kicked off their 40th anniversary tour in Boston in support of the compilation album 40 Licks. Think about that now. Do that math in your head. They kicked off their 40th anniversary tour 17 years ago. It was on this day, September 3rd, 1994.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
John Mellencamp peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart with this cover of Van Morrison's Wild Night, a duet with Michelle Indegue Ocello, and was his, John's, 10th and last top 10 single in the United States. On this date, September 3rd, 1977.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Well, they're coming soon to the Cajun Dome over there in Lafayette. Heart peaked at number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart with Barracuda, their third top 40 single in the U.S. And a band that I always referred to as the Poor Man's Rush. On this date, September 3rd, 1988.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Talented band, some good songs, some good hooks. I think they suffered most from terrible production. The drums on any album by the band Triumph just sound like cardboard boxes, my opinion. Well, they performed their last concert with guitarist and leader and singer Rick Emmett, talented guy. For 20 years, he was away from the band. They did that up in Canada, blah, 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 outside of Toronto.
And finally,
I like Triumph. Triumph got some good songs.
September 3rd, it was today in 1989.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The cornerstone album of Aerosmith's comeback, their post-sobriety years, was released. Pump! And a real, real good album.
Sure.
From Aerosmith. And
in that stretch of Pump and Permanent Vacation and Honkin' for Bobo. And there's your Aerosmith update. And that would be a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Just when you thought you couldn't hear any more, or you didn't want to hear any more... about the feud between Popeye's chicken and Chick-fil-A, who has the best chicken fried chicken sandwich.
Make it stop.
Because Popeye's ran out, and they sold out, and there's been brawls, and we've seen videos and such. But
some pretty good memes, too.
Just when you thought you couldn't see any more about this argument, this past weekend in Houston, Texas, Popeye's chicken was robbed. People went into Popeye's chicken with a gun, and they didn't ask for money. They asked for the chicken sandwiches. That's a true story. First, they drove to the drive-thru, and at the drive-thru, they were told, we're out of chicken sandwiches. They're sold out. Popeye's, they've been out of chicken sandwiches for over a week now. And these people this past weekend in Houston, Texas, should have realized that.
You would think they would put up a sign before people actually invest the time to get in line, but that's neither here nor there.
So when they were told at the drive-thru that they didn't have any more chicken sandwiches at Popeye's, these people parked their car. they walked into the restaurant. One of them had a gun, walked right up to the cashier and said, I want the chicken sandwich. Give me the chicken sandwich.
A couple of them had to leave the cars running because, well, you know, bad batteries.
And now Houston police, they're searching for these people as we speak. They're searching for the group of people who demanded Popeye's chicken sandwiches at gunpoint. This happened last night. Imagine taking a gun, walking into Popeye's to rob it, but not robbing it of cash. You're so upset that they didn't have the chicken sandwich at the drive-thru that now you're trying to get one at gunpoint. Two women, three men, stormed the front door of the restaurant. One of them had a gun. And they did that because they had just been told at the drive-thru window that the store was sold out of the extremely popular chicken sandwiches. Both types, too. The original and the spicy.
The double whammy.
And here's what else is interesting about this story. The group left a baby inside their vehicle as they tried to enter the restaurant.
Were they creating a diversion?
I don't know, but one of the employees was able to lock the door. I guess like one of them got in, two of them, and then lucky the gun didn't fire. And then all the people got outside from the other door and they took off. And now Houston police are trying to find the group of people that and I hope the baby's okay, for God's sake, that literally with a gun tried to rob a Popeye's chicken, not of cash, not of money, but of the very, very tasty and popular chicken sandwich. And boy, you know, some people might be exaggerating, and I love the Popeye's chicken sandwich, and I love the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich too. But could you imagine? It's one thing to try to throw your life away, taking a gun, going into a place of business and robbing it of cash, which is what 99.999% of people do when they do that.
Right, because there are so many extemporaneous elements involved in obtaining cash that you don't already have, whether that be for, drugs. I mean, it could be for baby formula. It could be for an endless number of things. But there's only one thing that a chicken sandwich solves, and that is one's hunger. Or in my case, just being so damn curious about the thing because I have yet to have one. I almost can't wrap my mind around that. I can't wrap my wings around that, in fact. The idea that someone would commit armed robbery for something to eat.
And now the biggest question.
And not just something like, I need food. I'm destitute. I'm starving. No, it's got to be this damn sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
There was plenty of other chicken there. They could have taken the regular pieces of chicken. They could have taken the tenders. They could have taken sides, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Sure.
No, I just wanted that particular time. Hopefully the Houston police will find these lunatics.
I'm going to remain steadfast and abstain and just a comment on this as these stories come along without having tried the product.
Well, hopefully that's the last story we'll have until Popeye's is restocked with those delicious chicken sandwiches, because I'm getting a hankering for every time I think of one and talk about one. I kind of want one. They are that good. All right, coming up next. New Jersey is about to overtake another state in something. And we're gonna tell you all about it coming up next. You know, Louisiana could have been telling this story, making a lot of money too. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Did you see over the Labor Day weekend that the Pope got stuck in an elevator at the Vatican? He was stuck for almost a half an hour. But they were able to get the Pope out and he's okay. He's gonna be fine. But they said that that elevator he got stuck in was installed in the early 1960s, and that elevator has seen its share of ups and downs since then. So I'm glad that the Pope is okay, even though he's the Pope that some Catholics are calling the commie Pope. They're not happy. They think he's more like a communist than a Pope. All right, coming up next, the state of New Jersey. They haven't passed the state of Nevada yet when it comes to gambling, legalized gambling, but they're going to. And it's something that the state of Louisiana could have done, but we're missing out on all of that revenue. Where do you hear some of these numbers coming up? That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. I hope you had a real nice Labor Day weekend. Now that football's back, this Saturday night is going to be something. LSU playing in Austin at the University of Texas. And
calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity? Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going into the game, LSU is ranked a few positions higher than Texas. And this will be a fantastic early season test for the Tigers to see how they do. That's going to be some game this weekend. And then, of course, the Saints play Monday night. And because it's the first weekend of the NFL season, they always play two Monday night games. So the Saints game is going to be
6:10 or something like that?
A little bit early.
Yeah.
Like a happy hour start. And by the way, if you're planning on going to the Saints game, even if you're not, before the game, we are getting you warmed up. We're having a pre-Saints bash over at the Vintage Rock Club. That's right above Walk-On's, the restaurant that Drew Brees is part owner of, on Poydras, right down the street from the Superdome. So if you're planning on going to the game, or if you're not, we're going to have a blast. We're all going to be over there on Monday for a couple of hours leading up to the early kickoff there, the early Monday night kickoff. But just so excited for football. It's back. And when it comes to football, one of the things that makes football so exciting, college or pros, is the fact that people in some places can legally wager on a football game. And for the longest time, the state of Nevada was pretty much the only place in America where you could legally wager on not just football, but all other sports too. I mean, Nevada is known for being the betting capital. But a couple of years ago, the state of New Jersey decided to make betting on sporting events legal. And oh boy, are they raking in the cash. And now New Jersey is poised to take over Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, as the sports betting capital of the United States. It didn't take very long. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we could have been New Jersey, Louisiana.
It doesn't ring right, that's all.
Well, we smell better than New Jersey as a state. I know for a fact I spent time in New Jersey. But this is something that our lawmakers completely dropped the ball on, no pun intended. And we had Mississippi a couple of years ago jump in. And now you got, they're making piles of cash, legalized sports betting. And they're making a bunch of cash off of Louisiana residents who are just hopping in the car and driving over the line to Mississippi to go legally bet on some games. And we were all set this year in Louisiana to have it legalized. State Senator Denny Martini, friend of the show, he had the legislation in place, but it didn't get passed because there were too many, there were too many local politicians here in Louisiana that were hearing it from certain constituents in their districts that wouldn't be allowed to make sports gambling legal in their shops. Because State Senator Martini's legislation had a certain amount of places where it would be legal. Like Harrah's here in New Orleans, and there was a few other places across the state. But there were a bunch of small town, small stores who had lottery, and because that's gambling, they wanted you to be able to walk into their little nickel and dime store and be able to legally bet on football. And the original bill didn't have that in it. Again, it only had certain places.
Is that the legitimate answer, or is the answer because the wrong palms weren't getting greased?
Well, you can maybe throw that in there too.
You think? In Louisiana, you think?
And it's a shame because when we talked about this, when it failed, I said, boy, did we miss out. Because this is just like basically printing money. If you make gambling on sporting events legal, you're basically printing money for the state. Sure, a few people will win, but the majority of people will lose. And here in Louisiana, we're always cutting in education. We're always cutting in healthcare. We're cutting in places where people always say, we can't cut any more funding. We need the funding. Just look what's happening in New Jersey right now. They're about to overtake Las Vegas. They are going to be known as the place that makes the most money when it comes to people gambling on sports. And I know when we talked about this, there have been a couple of people who have texted us. And by the way, you could text us about this, how you feel. Some people have said, hey, John, you're wrong. You know, I don't think gambling should be legal. I know people that have gambling issues. I don't want to hear that. There are alcohol's legal and there are people who have alcohol issues. So please don't tell me about that. Because a small percentage of people can't handle themselves when it comes to whether it's gambling or drinking, don't ruin it for the rest of us. And don't ruin it for the state that can make just piles and piles and piles of money off of legalized gambling. I know we're going to try again next year, and hopefully the right palms will be greased, Brewster, or whatever reason you want to give as to why legalized gambling failed in the last legislative session here in Louisiana, legalized sports gambling. But wouldn't it be great? How fun would it be on a Sunday afternoon or a Monday night to be able to walk into Harrah's here, and all of a sudden you'd see a sports book room, and you could go legally bet $50 on the Who Dats? You could say, hey, you know what? I don't have 50 bucks. Let me do 20. Let me bet 20 bucks on the Saints. I think they're going to win. I'm going to have a beer over here. Wouldn't that be fun? And again, because some people can't control themselves, just like, again, with alcohol or anything else, don't let that small percentage of people ruin it for the state, the children in the schools, or the public school system, where the money keeps getting cut and cut and cut. Well, the state of New Jersey is about to overtake Las Vegas, the state of Nevada, and as the sports betting capital of the United States, according to people who follow this stuff. It is something, and just the money is coming in. And basically, if you legalize sports betting and sports gambling, you're printing money. That's what you're doing. You're printing money. All right, coming up on the show. Did you hear what happened to the former owner of Tipitina's? You know, he recently sold the legendary music venue to the band Galactic, but he's not around anymore. And we'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. You ever had a Whataburger? It's one of the many hamburger, cheeseburger franchises. Whataburger's making news for all the wrong reasons this morning. At a Whataburger in Bastrop, Texas, it's about a half hour outside of Austin, a video has gone viral of a mouse on the counter running in between people's food orders, and people are absolutely freaking out. This video has been viewed 2 million times, and it's been shared 65,000 times. People are losing it, and the video shows the mouse running in between people's bagged food orders on the counter, and then some woman who doesn't work there decides to try to do something about it. She tries to get the mouse, and she's moving the bags of food, and then the highlight or the low light of the video happens. The mouse, as it's running away from the woman, takes
one of the bags.
No. Takes a flying leap into the deep fryer.
No!
And then people start screaming. People are freaking out. This is all on the video. And, the poor mouse.
Oh, I'm watching it now.
People are saying, quote, this bleep is crazy. Somebody said, what do we do now? Another guy said, I don't know. I work at Domino's. I don't know. And then another.
Finally, one said, mad gay, yo.
And another customer grabbed the tongs and tried to get the fried mouse out of the fryer. Failed. And then somebody, I don't think this person worked there. I think it was another customer that said, you'll know it's done when it rises to the top. Because if you've ever fried any food, that's sure. Usually when you. So they were. I guess they were waiting for the poor mouse to fry. And then, that evidently, and people are swearing in the back of the video. People are starting to run out screaming, and we're all going to die and right. Things like that, you know. And Whataburger said, look, we're sorry about that. We're closing down the restaurant. We're going to clean.
But for good?
Well, no, we're going to clean it up. And
good luck with that.
Well, Brewster, it makes you wonder what happens in other restaurants. I mean, here in New Orleans, in the French Quarter, we're so close to the Mississippi River. I mean, the rats, and I'm sure they do a decent job of keeping them out of our food.
I have told you before on the Saturday Night Live sketch with Phil Hartman playing Jesus. And long story short, somebody dies and they meet on a billowy cloud with Jesus. And Jesus, one of the things he said, he's like, Would you like to know what you've eaten in your life? It's like, no.
Jesus,
you,
please.
Exactly. No. If you knew what you actually consume,
Coming up next, now that Labor Day weekend is come and gone, so is the summer, the new juvenile curfew hours are in effect for the city of New Orleans. We'll give you the latest details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. There's a high school football player in Louisiana up in Shreveport. He went viral just because of his name. His name is DeColdest Crawford. That's D-E and then capital C-O-L-D-E-S-T. DeColdest Crawford. And then when people saw that name, they looked into it a little bit more. Do you know what the name on his birth certificate is?
I'm afraid to ask.
DeColdest to ever do it, Crawford. His middle name is T-O-E-V-A-D-O-I-T. DeColdest to ever do it, Crawford. And he's a really good high school football player out of Shreveport.
Right.
And now I think playing football will be the second thing he is known for. You know, something we laugh sometimes when we see what people name their kids. How would you like to literally, your name is DeColdest to ever do it, Crawford. Well, I just wanted to bring that up as football season is now here. Remember that name.
See, what? Apparently his mother named him that in a forward-looking statement, hoping he would be one of the best in athletics, or DeColdest. What if he's terrible? What if he's like me and running in grade school gave him a sharp pain in his side?
Or maybe after...
And he had to sit out.
Maybe after she delivered the child, she looked at him and said, he looks like a DeColdest to ever do it.
Well, that's pretty abstract, though. Hmm.
So now that Labor Day weekend has come and gone, we have the juvenile curfew hours that are now in effect here in the city of New Orleans. And this has been going on for a few years now. This is trying to keep not only the kids off the streets at night, but keeping an eye on the parents of the kids, saying, hey, why don't you keep more of an eye on your kid? New Orleans teenagers need to get home earlier now to make curfew, that the summer is come and gone, and here we are now after Labor Day weekend. Starting yesterday, which was September, actually starting 2 days ago, which was September 1st, the city's juvenile curfew hours are in effect, and they will be in effect for a duration of the school year. Anyone under the age of 17 will need to be off the streets by 8 p.m. Sundays through Thursdays. On Fridays and Saturdays, that moves up to 11 p.m. And then the curfew is lifted at 6 a.m. every day of the week. What's interesting is, though, in the French Quarter, they have a year-round curfew. And that's always at 8 p.m. in the French Quarter, whether it's school year, whether it's summertime. They just want to keep the children under the age of 17 off the street. Now, if the child is with the parent or with a parent or a guardian, that's fine. But the authorities here in the city of New Orleans do not want to see groups of kids under the age of 17 walking around the city at night.
Because often what happens is they, you find out they're neglecting their studies.
That's one of the things. They believe, and when I say they, the authorities, our history-making mayor, Latoya Cantrell, well, I know her name's Latoya, but she loves Twitter. She loves to tweet. So, and she made history because she's the first female mayor the city of New Orleans ever had. Her, along with our latest superintendent of police, Sean Ferguson, and other advocates agree that tougher curfew enforcement will help combat juvenile crime. And what's interesting is I remember when this started a few years ago, that some of the parents weren't happy about this because they were getting called out if their juveniles were running the streets of New Orleans late at night unaccompanied. And some people thought, hey, wait, what are you, going after the parents? Well, in a way, yeah, you have kids that are 13, 14, 15, 16 years old that are out after midnight in the French Quarter and out after midnight in other parts of the city. And you know, for adults, after midnight, usually a good time, but for kids that age, they feel that for the most part only trouble can follow them. And if the kids are picked up, they get brought to a spot, a juvenile place first, and then I guess the cops try to track down the parents, the mother, the father, whatever the case may be, and then they might they try to reunite them, and they might give a little disciplinary action towards the parents. But some of the parents don't think it's fair. But I think in a city like New Orleans, known for what happens late at night, and a lot of instances, it's where people come here to have a good time at night. I mean, I think they're doing what they can here, our authorities, to try to keep the kids safe, and to try to keep the adults safe, because in many instances it's the underage kids who are together with other underage kids and they're up to no good, and that includes maybe committing crimes and robbing people and such. So we'll see how that goes this year. And the other thing that people are upset about, the people that don't like this, and I have no issue with this, but some of the people that don't like this think that this gives cops an excuse just to go up to kids, mostly young black kids, and to hassle them. But are they really hassling them when it's after dark? They should be off the streets. They got school. They got to go to school early in the morning. I don't think that's a hassle. And yeah, if the cops are keeping one eye on the parents, well, sorry that that's happening. But you gotta be able to control your kids a little bit better. So we'll see how that works out. Again, I don't have a big issue with that. Coming up on the show, we will tell you about a guy who did a lot of good in this city. And he just died recently. Pretty mysterious circumstances. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. There's rumors going around. I don't know if this is true or not, but there are rumors going around that actor Tom Cruise is dating Cher.
God.
I know. And that they have rekindled their romance. If maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but they did date for a little while back in 1985 when Tom Cruise was only 22 and Cher was somewhere in her early 60s. We're not really 100% sure, but they may be at it again.
Mm.
Those two. Yeah, I know I didn't want to give you something to think about like that, but.
Thanks.
All right. Coming up next on the show, I got to get to this story about a guy who did a lot of good here in the city of New Orleans, and he just died mysteriously. We'll give you some details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So I know after Southern Decadence Weekend here in the city that some people, Sodom and Gomorrah, Caligula, everybody's going to hell. Did you see a couple of the pictures? There was two lesbians kissing in front of a guy holding up the sign that's saying, God watches all your sins. And,
repent.
And all of that stuff.
The end is nigh.
Yeah, look.
When is nigh, by the way? N-I-G-H. The end is nigh.
It's close.
Is it close?
Yeah, it's getting close.
The end is nigh.
I just, you know, we've always talked about this. I've mentioned this before on the show, how when people want to get biblical when it comes to talking about gay people, homosexuals, you don't see them getting biblical in other parts of the Bible. Like, it's not just the gays. It's the people who cheat on their spouses, on their loved ones. It's the gamblers, the gambleaholics. There are other people that the Bible calls out, but seemingly there are some folks that are just hung up on the gays. And the way I look at it, look, if they're not breaking any laws, if they're not bothering other people, who cares?
Is
your life that perfect?
That's not enough, though. I mean, the whole thing about glass houses, and I've made the point on this show before that there, for many different religions, there is just there's a morbid curiosity and a fixation on what goes on behind other people in other people's bedrooms, and whether that be whether it's an evangelical thing that you're trying to save them or you're trying to get them to quote unquote pray the gay away, which I find just astounding that even is still a thing that a lot of people think is legitimate. It's just mind your own beeswax. That's what I say.
Gosh.
And stop hectoring Frank.
Not only don't I care about what goes on in other people's bedrooms, I barely care about what goes on in my bedroom. I don't know if I want to see that. But look, the Southern Decadence is it's been going on now here Labor Day weekends for a while, and it's a good moneymaker for the city of New Orleans when otherwise during a time of the year when the city needs to have people come in here and spend money. I just don't get what people's obsession is when it comes to judging gay people. But it went well here this weekend in the city of New Orleans. And I wanted to bring this up, too, as well. Did you see the story about the guy who owned Tipitina's? His name's Roland Von Kernatowski. And he owned Tipitina's for over a couple of decades. And not only did he own Tipitina's, and then he recently sold it to the band Galactic, who owns it now. But Roland, not only he started the Tipitina's Foundation, which raised money and tons of instruments for students, for kids here in the city of New Orleans who would otherwise not have money for instruments to learn how to play music and things like that. Roland Von Kernatowski did a lot of good for the city of New Orleans and its people for many years. And then towards the end of when he owned Tipitina's, he was having some financial problems. And that's why he ended up selling Tipitina's to the band Galactic. And he's got some other financial problems. He's being sued. Well, a few days ago, he ended up dying in a shooting accident. according to hunting
accident.
Yeah, according to his family. A couple of nights ago, Sunday night, he died after he accidentally shot himself on property that he owned in Mississippi. Details aren't exactly clear, and he's 68 years old. But his family and friends said that he was using a rifle to try to kill wild boar, which had become a problem on his property there. And what makes this a little bit confusing and what makes people scratch their heads when they look into this story is that he was alone at the time. Like I said, there are some people that are suing him currently. There are some people accusing him of being the head of a Ponzi scheme. But this guy was a very successful businessman here in New Orleans for many years. And he did so much good with some of the money. And we don't know the exact details about how he died, but when his family says that he was hunting wild boar who have been a problem on his property and he was alone and he ended up shooting himself, that's all we know right now. It makes you wonder if it was an accident. That's all. I don't know. And again, I can't stress this enough. The guy did a lot of good with his money in and around the city of New Orleans and for New Orleanians and people from around here. And I know he's been going through some tough times financially. You know, that's why he sold Tipitina's to the band Galactic. And he's currently going through some court cases right now where people are suing him. And I don't know if look, I'm not speculating, but how are you on your own property hunting for wild boar that's a problem on your property? You're by yourself, you're alone, and you end up dead from a gunshot wound. I'm sure we're going to be hearing more of this coming out in the future, but he was a family-centered guy. He just did a lot of good, and he was a very kind guy, and it's sad to see someone who did so much good for other people, how his life came to an end here. And I just don't think we've heard the end of the story on the death of Roland von Kurnatowski, who ended up dying at the age of 68 years old. And you know, we don't like to bring you sad news here on the show, but if it's a local story and we talk about things that happen in and around New Orleans, so sometimes not all the stories are fun and happy. But it'll be interesting to see if that's the end, if we've heard the last of that story. Coming up next on the show, I'm going to give you the ultimate reason why you should really limit your junk food. Wait till you hear what happened to this teenager in England, because he loved the junk food. That's next, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Obviously, you know you shouldn't eat too much junk food. I guess everything in moderation is what they say, right?
You know, you look right at me when you said that. I'm sitting right here. I can. Go ahead.
But then I read what just happened to this teenager in England, and it really got me thinking. Teen went blind after eating only Pringles, French fries, ham, and sausage. And now they are...
It's not a bad trade-off. I can see that.
He was a very picky eater, and those are basically the only, according to his parents, those are the, and they're using this now as a case study in medicine journals and in medical books. A teenager in the United Kingdom, described as a fussy eater, went blind. He lost his vision because he only ate Pringles, French fries, white bread, processed ham, and sausage.
White bread.
You know, this can't be good for Pringles. I mean, weren't there other brands of potato chips? I mean, there's a lot of different brands, a lot of different kinds of potato chips you could have. But this guy, this kid, was very, he was a fussy eater, very fussy, and he liked the Pringles.
Well, as your potato chips go, Pringles do go through a lot of extemporaneous processing, as opposed to, oh, I don't know, the brands that just slice potatoes and fry them and salt them and put them in a bag. Pringles are basically, and I love Pringles, so I'm going to say this, and I mean it in a good way. Pringles are like chewed up and spit out and fried and then salted and put in a can. They're delicious.
What I used to like to do with Pringles when I finished the can, I used to, much like when I finished a can of beer when I was younger, and I used to take that can and crush it against my skull, and I did that for the ecology. Right. I did that for the earth.
Yes.
I used to like to do that with Pringles cans as well.
Very green of you.
But this boy suffered from something called nutritional optic...
I have that.
...neuropathy. That's a dysfunction of the optic nerve caused by a diet low in nutrients required for nerve fibers in the eye to function the way they're supposed to.
Thanks a lot. Now I have one more thing wrong with me. Thank you so much.
Well, you already wear glasses. This boy first visited his family doctor at the age of 14 with a normal body mass index, but he complained of being tired all the time. His doctor gave him some vitamin B12 injections to treat those low levels of that vitamin.
That'll do it.
And suggested some dietary changes. A year later, the boy developed, all he would eat are those things that I mentioned.
Well, we've...
And he wouldn't listen. And
so there are certain people who will walk into the grocery store and they will say, well, I just don't see myself buying the fruits and vegetables. But literally what you're saying is he walks into the grocery store, or the market, as they call it in Britain, and he literally can't see the fruits and vegetables. Yeah. He only sees the Pringles and the white bread.
Well, this is a fact. If you only, or you know someone who only eats Pringles, French fries, white bread, and processed ham and sausage, they are going to go blind because their eyes aren't getting the nutrients that they need.
Right. Maybe one carrot, like once a month. Would that reverse it?
That was my kid. I'd force the carrot down his throat. Don't you want to see, damn it. Can't you see? Can't you see what you're doing to yourself? All right, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Over the Labor Day weekend, television psychiatrist or psychologist or psychobabble, whatever he is, Dr. Phil celebrated a birthday. And at Dr. Phil's birthday party, a girl jumped out of the cake. Then Dr. Phil told her that consciously acknowledging her negative behaviors was the first step toward improving her self-esteem. I guess he's always working that guy.
Beady-eyed little bastard.
Do you realize how much money he makes?
All the money.
He literally makes about $50 or $60 million a year from doing that show.
There's a saying that if you eat tacos, right? If you're eating a taco, put an empty shell underneath you, and then when you're done with that one, you have another one because of the droppings. That is Dr. Phil chasing behind Oprah in case she drops like a 20.
Well,
he gets all that money that she drops.
He makes all that money because of Oprah.
Right.
He was one of the legal experts she hired when she was getting sued by the cattle industry in Texas way back when. And I have this. Mother and daughter are arrested in an aggressive crab leg robbery. This happened in Memphis, Tennessee. A 56-year-old woman named Felicia Hollins and her 34-year-old daughter named Gabrielle went to a grocery store there, and they started shoving about $200 worth of crab legs into a purse. When a manager tried to stop them, they punched her in the face. This is a mother-daughter crab leg theft ring. Then they took off. Two witnesses were able to identify them in photo lineups, and both the mother, Felicia, and her daughter, Gabrielle, were arrested. They both admitted that they did it. So at least there's no BS here. There's no lying. And if you want to read more about that, we've got their mugshots and that story on our website at bayou957.com. You know, it's sad when our parents are supposed to lead us in the right direction. They're supposed to tell us how to live proper lives. I mean, I couldn't. What would you do? I'm trying to look at their ages here. It's not like she was a little. Again, the daughter's 34. The mother's 56. So the 34-year-old didn't even say, "Hey, Ma, stop this." You know, I can understand if, because we've seen some of these mother-daughter crime waves where the daughter really can't say no to the mother, or the mother is going to smack the daughter or whatever. They'll be disciplined. But in this particular case, the daughter's 34 and the mother's 56. What do you do if your 56-year-old mother comes up to you and says, you know, these crab legs look good, we just don't have the money?
I've said all I'm going to say on this story, because I did it last Friday when you were on vacation.
Oh, it's all the good stuff when I'm not here.
Bye, Felicia.
Jeez. Well, maybe for part of their rehabilitation, maybe these two women could go see Dr. Phil.
Yes.
Because he could sit down with the mother on one side of them, the daughter on the other. Don't you know that stealing crab legs is not the...
That's
you
right.
You don't do that with your daughter. Although they must have been some really, really delicious crab legs to do that. Anyways, that's a story those two will have to tell for a long time. When me and Mom got arrested and we were cellmates for a couple of days. That's just about going to do it for our show. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Coming up in 13 minutes, it's 2 for Tuesday with Ginty.
Ginty.
We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.